A great case was Omar Torrijos of Panama, a man I like very, very much. He's the guy, incidentally, signed the treaty with Carter, giving the Panama Canal back to the Panamanians. I liked Omar very, very much. He was extremely charismatic. I was sent in to corrupt him, to get him to change his ways, to become a puppet of ours, and he wouldn't be corrupted. And you know, he said to me, I've got good food, I've got a good car, I've got a good house. I don't need anything else except to help my people get back, be reimbursed for all the damage your people have done to my country over the years. And I could not corrupt him. And I knew that in not corrupting him, not only would I not do my job if I failed, but also something much more dire would happen to him. And he realized it too, in a way. But he would not be corrupted. And so I was really torn here. I wanted to corrupt him because it was my job, and I also wanted to corrupt him because I figured it would save his life. Because I failed, he was assassinated.
Tell me about what you were offering.
Well, basically, what we wanted to do was build some huge infrastructure projects in Panama, get big World Bank loans to build big infrastructure projects across the country, in industrial parks, widen the canal, big power plant systems, sewer systems, lots of things like that that would benefit a few very wealthy people, including him. He would have gotten very rich off these projects, and it would have put Panama deep, deep into debt. What he wanted was to get the United States to admit that the destruction it had done in that country over the years, to reimburse Panama for what he saw as plundered resources for all the money we'd earned off the Panama Canal. And he also wanted the Japanese to come in, and they were offering to finance the construction of a new sea-level canal that would allow the biggest ships in the world to go through, which, in fact, Panama just this year is announcing that it's going to do. We didn't want any of those things to happen, of course.
And so he was already, you said he had another girlfriend, as it were, with Japan, and was already talking about doing that. And is that why he was ultimately assassinated then? Because you want the jackal of jackals wanted to see a more friendly person go in his place that would be willing to play ball?
Yeah, we basically wanted a puppet. And those are some of the reasons. There were a few others. He had signed the canal treaty. It was passed in the U.S. Congress by only one vote. And immediately, as soon as it was passed, there was an attempt to get it changed and to get him to renege on it. He wouldn't do that. He'd also said that as soon as the canal became part of the United States, he would throw out the School of the Americas, this atrocious school that we had in that country. It's a U.S. military school, which has been thrown out of Panama subsequently and has been relocated in Georgia, that trains torturers, very right-wing Gestapo type of military people in South America. He'd said that will have to leave. He was throwing that out. We want him to reestablish that. And he said our military base, a big military base there in the canal zone, would have to leave, and we wanted to get him to change that. There were many factors. Basically, we wanted to have a puppet in Panama, and we wanted him to be that puppet. He wouldn't play along. So we figured by assassinating him in the end, the country would come around. And, in fact, in a way, under Noriega, it really did, although there's another, of course, story in
yeah.
that.
Well, that was my follow-up question is then, how do you rig, as an economic hitman or as part of an apparatus that's there, how do you rig a person coming into the office after somebody's been assassinated that is the person you want to be there so that you're not starting this all over again where you have to, go back to Jump Street and start trying to corrupt somebody else? If you're going to go to all the trouble to do this horrible thing of assassinating somebody just because they won't play ball with us, then don't you have to have the right person lined up next in the batting order?
Well, you do usually kind of have that, and we did in a way with Noriega. But you've also got to remember that all of these guys know what's going on. I mean, they know that we overthrew Allende in Chile, the CIA overthrew him, and Arbenz in Guatemala, and Lumumba in the Congo, and Diem in Vietnam, and Mossadegh in Iran. These guys all know what we're capable of doing. And when a president is taken down, and in this case, Jaime Roldós of Ecuador, who I also failed with for very similar reasons, was assassinated in May of 81, and then Torrijos in June of 81, this sends a really strong signal throughout the hemisphere. Every other president who comes into office at this point in either of those countries as well as anywhere else, realizes that their lives are in true danger, that these economic hitmen are not making false threats. So we economic hitmen basically go in and we say, listen, you know, if you play the game our way, you and your family is going to get very rich and your cronies. If you decide to keep your campaign promises, then something's going to happen to you, like what happened to these other people that I just listed. And then now you add to the list Torrijos and Roldos. And it's very clear. So it sends an incredibly strong message, not only to the next president of Panama or Ecuador, but to presidents throughout the world, that they're going to now listen to the economic hitmen. If they ever thought for a moment that we're not capable of doing this, that changes their minds.